Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders, joins me on G&D. Always love having Aaron on, one of the smartest football minds in the country. Thank you for joining us. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you for the kind words.
Indeed. So you guys just put out, by the way, your brand new almanac of sorts with all the intel anybody could ever want about this football season. I've been diving into the electronic version. It's incredible. I mean, how long does that take? Do you guys start working on it like next year's now somehow?
Well, in that people know which chapters they're going to write next year, and so they watch those teams extra carefully. But we, you know, I put all the numbers together in February and March and April, and then around late April is when we get started writing, and we just dedicate all of May and June to it, and it comes out mid-July.
It's fantastic. Labor of love, and just makes for more informed football fans everywhere, and I always learn when I am checking it out. So let's start with the Commanders. I want to go around the NFC East with you, Aaron. I want to start with your thoughts, just paint with a broad brush, and then we can kind of double-click on some things. With Washington coming off the offseason they had in the East.
Yeah, I mean, the Washington defense has to be better than it was last year, right? Because last year in particular, first of all, we know there's talent there. We know how good that defensive line was the year before. We know the secondary, you know, guys like William Jackson were good on other teams. But also, they were one of the worst defenses we have ever tracked on third down passes, and there's just no way that that consistently stays into 2022. They're going to be better on defense.
But one of the things that I – let me jump in on that real quick. One of the things that I found fascinating about the point you guys made about how bad they were on defense, and you historically showed that almost everyone that has been that bad on third and fourth down passing defense gets a lot better – is that normally teams make way more changes than they made. Like almost every time there was a new defensive coordinator, and quite literally every time there was a massive overhaul in personnel, and neither of those things happen here, interestingly.
It's going to be a fun little test of, you know, does personnel changes and coaching changes drive regression, or is it just statistical trends? Because you're right. They did not make a lot of changes on defense compared to other teams that had been in a similar situation in years past. And I understand why. I mean, they were so good on defense the year before. You know, people have asked me about Jack Del Rio and been critical of him. I mean, this is the same guy who coordinated the defense that we had ranked, I think, number three in the league in 2020. So, like, unless he completely lost his ability to understand defense in 1 year, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing stopping him from coordinating a good defense again. And then again, these are like the same players that were third the year before, except, you know, a couple of them got injured, and hopefully they'll have those guys back, although who knows when Chase Young is coming back. And then they added guys like William Jackson, who are supposed to be better than the guys they got rid of.
Other side of the ball, let's talk offense for a moment. Wentz, you guys spent the majority of your team breakdown on this idea of improvement at the quarterback position. What do we think?
Yeah, we're just not Wentz fans statistically because of what he did the year before and just how bad he was in 2020. And from a subjective point of view, you know, the things that we've heard, the things that, I mean, everybody has heard that the Colts officials have said about him in the locker room and his attitude just doesn't seem really positive to us. And there's a lot of feeling that the fact that he was statistically average last year in some ways is a good coaching job by Frank Reich. And we don't know if Scott Turner can do the same thing. That's not a diss on Scott Turner. It's more of a congratulations to Frank Reich.
Is there a path, and Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders is my guest, to the Commanders winning 10 games, let's say, and making the playoffs as a wild card, and Wentz just being okay? I mean, is that something that you think could happen, or is whatever they're able to accomplish going to go through him?
Oh, no, that's absolutely possible. It goes through him in that he would have to be okay. He would have to be what he was last year, not what he was the year before. But you absolutely have a way in which you can imagine their defense bouncing all the way back to what it was the year before, and their offense being kind of average, because Wentz was kind of average last year. And that is a playoff team, especially when, like the rest of the NFC East, Washington has a particularly easy schedule.
So that, to me, is where I actually am expecting more out of this team than I have in many years, Aaron. It's funny. I've gone on a couple shows, and people will ask, and they must think I'm a homer, because I actually have them way over, I think, what the national expectation is. I think they could go 10-7 and make the playoffs. And I don't think I've picked them to win 10 games in years. Obviously, you get one more game now. But my entire argument is that their schedule is arguably the easiest in the league. I think the division's down. I know the conference is down. Isn't there an argument for that? I mean, you guys drew a really nice comparison to the quarterbacks they played 2 years ago when they were third in DVOA for you, versus being sixth to the worst last year when they played much harder quarterbacks. And they're going back to playing a much softer QB schedule this year defensively.
Yeah, but I mean, the same goes for Philadelphia and Dallas. And we're pretty high on Philadelphia and Dallas. So we don't think that the division as a whole is down. I mean, we're more down on the Giants than anybody else. But I guess I just don't see it from Wentz. We just don't see it from Wentz. But it's possible, certainly, that what happened last year was much more Wentz's true ability, and not because Frank Reich coordinated him well and coached him up well, and that he'll be able to do the same thing in Washington. It's possible.
The other thing, if I was arguing on Wentz's behalf, which is not necessarily the camp I'm normally in, but to play a little devil's advocate, you've referenced a couple times 2 years ago that the disaster in Philly, we'll call it. He was better before that, too. I mean, wouldn't you say that has been a statistical outlier? Like, the year, it was only maybe the year before that he had 4,000 yards when they didn't have a single wideout with over 500. I thought that was some of his best ball.
Yeah, 2020 is a outlier, and we're not expecting him to drop to the level of 2020. That was really, really, really bad. We just don't know if he can keep up the level of last year. But you're right. If you look at his whole career, 4, 5, 6 years that he's been in the league, it does suggest more of an average quarterback than a bad quarterback, statistically. And then you have to account for all those non-statistical, you know, the intangibles, which we don't measure because they're intangibles, but all the reports on his intangibles are terrible.
Yeah. You guys do like their offensive line, it seems like, and have for the last couple years, I believe. They did lose Brandon Scherff at right guard. They've replaced him with Norwell, who was seventh best in run block win right via ESPN last year. I mean, what are the areas on the team that you think could be strengths and could help them?
I mean, the biggest strength is still the defensive line, especially when Chase Young gets healthy, right? I mean, that is 4 first-round picks. That is a very, very strong defensive line. The cornerback group could definitely be a strength. William Jackson, Kendall Fuller, those guys have been good in the past. Benjamin St. Juste has talent. The running backs could be a strength, although you know me, I'm an analytics guy, so my feeling is most running backs are pretty much the same. So, you know, Antonio Gibson is talented, just like all the other running backs that are talented. And, of course, I mean, look, Terry McLaurin is great, right? Like, our numbers do not fully show the greatness of Terry McLaurin because he's been hamstrung by the bad quarterbacks, but he is a supremely talented number one receiver. It's the rest of the receivers where there's question marks.
I want to drill down on Aaron Schatz, joining me from Football Outsiders, on your running back take, because you just alluded to it there. But, I mean, go a little bit deeper. So what is your philosophy on running backs in general then?
Yeah, and this is, I mean, generally the philosophy of most folks in analytics. It's that running backs are mostly the same. The reason why running backs are mostly the same is not that they're bad. It's that they're good. Right? Like, you can grab running backs in late rounds and even off the scrap heap and get good performance out of them. And there are a couple who are special in certain ways, whether it's a pass catcher, like Austin Eckler and Christian McCaffrey, or the way that they run like Jonathan Taylor or Nick Chubb or Derrick Henry, although who knows if Henry is healthy enough to run that way anymore. But for the most part, running backs are fairly interchangeable. None of them are terrible, and most of them are not particularly great. They're all kind of talented, and Washington's are kind of talented too.
Is there, though, a way to determine like who is worth paying and who isn't? Because as an example, Gibson last year, I thought, took a step backwards, put more balls on the carpet, had a lot more carries, and broke, I think, one more tackle than a year before, which tells you about his effectiveness. I wouldn't give him another contract as of right now. There are very few running backs I would. But to say that no one should ever do that, you mentioned Jonathan Taylor or Nick Chubb or a Dalvin Cook or somebody like that. Like, how do you differentiate between guys who are special and everybody else then?
I mean, you look at things like broken tackles. You look at things like yards after the catch and yards after contact. The NFL has a great model they call rushing yardage over expectation, that actually measures what the rushing yardage is expected to be based on where the blockers and defenders are at the moment of the handoff. And that's a really good way to measure running backs. But for the most part, the other thing is, even the guys who are special tend to not be special once you hand them a second contract, because they get older and they get broken down. It's a problem for running backs that, you know, they don't make as much money on their first contract, but that's where all of their value is.
Yeah, it's a great point. Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders, and specific to Gibson, just for the record, some of those areas you talked about analytically or where you grade running backs, they haven't been favorable to him over the last couple of seasons. All right, let's go around the division then. You said you are really high on Philly and Dallas. Who are you higher on? Who wins the East?
I like Philadelphia. I'm not going to say I'm the world's greatest Jalen Hurts believer, but I think he was an average passing quarterback last year and, of course, a fantastic runner. And they've added a ton of talent in the offseason. Hassan Reddick and James Bradbury and A.J. Brown, and getting Brandon Graham back from injury. And of all the teams in the division, all of whom have easy schedules, by our projections, they have the easiest schedule. We also like Dallas. Dallas was number one in the regular season in our ratings last year. And a lot of their problem last year was penalties, which don't correlate very strongly from year to year. There's a very good chance that Dallas is not going to like lead the league in penalties this year, that they're going to be more average. So they lost some talent, so we don't see them as the top team certainly this year. And there's questions at the wide receiver position, and the defense is not going to be as good. They're not going to get as many takeaways, just because defenses just don't get that many takeaways in two straight years. But we do still like Dallas to be a strong playoff team.
So on the Eagles, before we go to Dallas, I have from afar kind of compared them to Washington a year before that, where the Commanders won what I consider to be kind of a fake division title. But there was a year there where everything went their way. They played the 49ers at neutral site because of the air in San Francisco, and they played Nick Mullins at quarterback, and Joe Burrow got hurt, so they beat up on Ryan Finley, and they played two Cowboys games, and one was against Andy Dalton, and one was against Ben DiNucci. And when you go back through the Eagles last year, it was a lot of stuff like that. Like, it was a really fortuitous kind of magical carpet ride for them. How do you bake that type of stuff in? Because I asked that saying, last season, a lot of people were super high on Washington based on the year before, and those of us that saw it and saw who they were beating and playing and who they were getting fat on were kind of dubious and skeptical and ended up being right. So how do you guys bake those kind of lucky factors in?
Well, we do adjust for things like that. We try to adjust in our projections. I mean, a good example is Miami. Miami's defense last year, by far their best game was when New Orleans had to start Ian Book and had a bunch of people on the COVID list. And so when we were projecting this year for the Dolphins, we took that out.
Wow. We're not even going to give you the Ian Book game.
We're just not giving you the Ian Book game. And because it was such an outlier. And so we looked for outliers like that. And there really weren't any like extreme outliers like that for Philadelphia. But yeah, they did have it easy at times. There's no question about it. But we really like the talent that they added this offseason. They really added a lot of good parts.
And you said the Cowboys were number one in your ratings. For people that aren't like me scouring Football Outsiders, I'm guessing you're saying they were your number one team in DVOA, yes?
Yeah, they were number one in our DVOA ratings during the regular season last year. And also, people really overstate that playoff loss. Yes, they lost in the playoffs. That's a bad thing. But they lost to another very good team, and they only lost by one score. It's not like they went and got blown out in the playoffs. And there are plenty of teams throughout NFL history that have had losses in the playoffs that go on to win it all the next year. So that one loss in the playoffs does not really affect their chances for this year. It's things like losing Amari Cooper and not knowing when Michael Gallup's going to come back and losing parts of their offensive line, and that's more what affects them for this year.
And you created DVOA as just kind of an equalizer to try to put together a power rankings of sort and to figure out who is authentically better than who. I mean, how would you explain it for people listening on the radio in an elevator pitch style?
Sure. We measure the success of every play based on the down and distance, and then compare it to a league average baseline adjusted for situation and opponent.
You've said that before, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got it down to a science now.
People are going to have to probably rewind and go, okay, I get, yep, now that part, okay. So it's legit, and I love it because it's just a good thing that I reference from time to time, specifically on you know, offense or defense, really, for units on various sides of the ball. But when it comes to the division, you've got Philly, then Dallas, then Washington, then New York. Is Washington close with the other two? Or are they closer to the Giants? Like, how do you see the pecking order working out?
I think they end up a little bit closer to the Giants, but they're basically halfway between Philly and Dallas in the good and the Giants in the bad.
Wow. Okay. Good information. Well, Aaron, I really appreciate it. The new almanac looks great, and I'm excited people can get their hands on it and get it virtually now. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Check out Amazon for Football Outsiders Almanac 2022 or go to footballoutsiders.com/subscribe to learn more.
Love that. Appreciate you, buddy.
All right. Thanks, dude.
Be well. I like football nerdery. That's what I like. And for that reason, Aaron Schatz is my guy. Give me all the numbers. Give me the information. You want to give me the analysis by way of number? I'm going to take it. I got numbers on Patrick Corbin. They're really bad. Wait till you hear his percentile rankings in baseball. We're going to do this next. Here is going to be my question for you. What should the Nats do? Are they really just going to keep having him pitch as a starter every fifth day between now and the end of the year? They got some options here. Davey was starting to wonder aloud, is it time to actually navigate away from the plan and try something else? In his last three starts twice, he has not gotten three outs. He has been removed in the first inning of a game. We have reached a point of no return with Patrick Corbin. Nats fans, what should they do? That is my question. You can call me now at 800-636-1067. You can tweet me at Grant H. Paulson. You are listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.